Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
In the studio tonight, it's myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will, LLC. Joining me,
Steve Classic.
Nikki Sunshine.
And welcome. During the breaks in last night's show, I was talking with the hosts last night about, I don't like how, because St. Paddy's is on a Sunday, all of the bars and restaurants, like, hijacked the entire weekend.
Yeah.
It was St. Paddy's on Friday, yeah. St. Paddy's on Saturday. Yeah.
Hope you
St.
like corned beef today, and hash and Guinness.
Corned beef brunch.
What's the other thing? Irish car beef. Bombs. Those are fun. We should have brought some of those. Well, I couldn't really partake.
If you ever go to an authentic Irish bar, you do not order an Irish car bomb. You order a car bomb.
Oh, okay.
You don't put the word Irish in front of it.
Is that offensive?
No. It is.
Okay.
To the Irish.
Noted.
Somehow. I only learned this by...
by getting punched by a bartender.
No.
Irish restaurant.
I used to work at a place in Seattle that was in walking distance of an Irish pub that was open for lunch. And so I would take my lunch hour at the Irish pub. Hmm. And so I'm in there, and I think I took my lunch a little late, maybe around 2 p.m., you know, so like...
close to happy hour.
I'm almost finished with my lunch, getting my check, and like in walks, I don't know, half a dozen, I'm going to call them kids, right? They're obviously maybe just 21 in that range. Mm. And one guy from the table gets up, comes to the bar to order, because there was only just one bartender in the place. And he's like, yeah, can we get 6 Irish car bombs? And the bartender, legit Irish, right? Like not fake Irish accent, like he was imported.
Puts him up, like, come on,
no,
let's
he
go.
Was like, he was like, so 6 car bombs then? And the guy was like, yeah, 6 Irish car bombs. And he goes, so 6 car bombs then? He like puts a dramatic pause into it. And the guy he's like, oh, yeah, right. I'm sorry, 6 car bombs. He's like, okay, I will make you 6 car bombs, right?
Wow.
And he kind of looked over at me as he was like going to make them. He's like, rolls his eyes like, these people.
Get a load of these
people.
These people don't know how to order.
He's going to tell his friend, hey, you order the second round. Let him have it.
So, yeah. How do we get on St. Paddy's Day?
I said, Happy St. Patrick's Day, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, the Jamaican restaurant.
All right.
I even have my decorations.
I am wearing a green shirt. I don't know that I intended to wear it today as a St. Patrick's thing.
I've got some USD on me.
It just happened.
Got a green cup.
I do have a green cup, yes. So, one cup, one dude.
That's it.
So anyway, here's the headline from, I don't even know what this is, USMB, USmessageboard.com. Mm. Man arrested after sending hundreds of used dildos to the White House on Valentine's Day.
Arrested?
Where's the crime?
I was gonna, like, is that illegal?
Like,
I mean,
where's the... Like
it frowned upon.
Frowned upon, yeah.
Uncouth, perhaps.
Yeah. You're supposed to boil them after, I think.
Why were they? I mean, used? Were they?
Yeah, that's what I said. You said used, right? Yeah.
Let me reiterate.
All right. Captain continues.
Man arrested after sending hundreds of used dildos to the White House on Valentine's Day. So that's a loaded headline. First of all, man. Right?
Right. Hundreds.
Assumably, they're talking about a dude, right? Not person, right? Man, right?
Man.
Arrested, right? So the state came after him in some way, shape, or form. After sending hundreds, not just a few, not just one.
Not 99. Right?
That's like you're accepting donations.
Of, you
know, putting an ad out in the paper.
And not just hundreds of hundreds of
used. So where did he get all these?
These are the questions that I was like, wait a minute, there's a whole lot to unpack here. to the White House, right?
The White House.
Did you ship them USPS, FedEx, right? Like, how did they get there? What method, you know?
Right.
And then on Valentine's Day, right? So, like, there's a lot of coordination that had to happen to make this thing go.
I could just imagine, because it goes through an X-ray machine in the mail room, and I'm sure the mail room is not at the White House. It's probably a postal facility or something.
The non-binary room, right?
Right. So it's got to go through
the mail room.
It's the mail room. So it's got to go through an X-ray scanner of some sort. So, like, I could just imagine, like, whoa, what's this? You see all of these, like, open that up. I'm not opening that up. Like, it's, I just sent it right over to Joe's office.
What are these? What are these things? All right, Washington, D.C. Kurt Fellows, that's the guy's name, the man in question. They claim he's age 67, so
he's getting Social Security.
He's lived a full life, right? Yeah. In order to make it to 67, one must have lived a full life.
He's been collecting them for 40. He's finally got to get rid of his collection.
Yep. It's a full life, all right.
It's a full life.
Letters from friends, family, and acquaintances are already arriving in droves pleading for the release of Kurt Fellows. It's clear his actions met with the support of his peers, just based on the number of letters and whatever that are coming in. It is understood that Kurt Fellows has been collecting used sex toys from like-minded women in the Montana area.
Like-minded women? Do you hate Joe Biden? Donate your used dildos today. That's what I said. That's what I said in the beginning when you first started reading it. He put an ad in the paper.
Yeah. In all 1,000 women in Montana.
Yeah, or modern day, or whatever, or like, Facebook post.
Or
like
his church group? Or like, I mean, the church group. Like how do you solicit nearly 1,000 of these things, you know, from somewhere in Montana?
Well, there could be more than one per person.
Did he put up a GoFundMe or something? Like, you know, like, I don't...
Trade in your old one and get a new one?
Oh, the dildo buyback program.
Right. We're going to destroy the battery so they'll never work again.
Yeah, you can't write comedy like this. It's just not possible. Reality is stranger than fiction.
You couldn't even think, like, well, come up with a crazy story. Like, you couldn't even think of this.
Dear AI.
Yeah, come up with
will
a crazy...
Please come up with a crazy story for Sunday night.
For Valentine's
Day. We want Montana. We want dildos.
Patriot.
This really has it all.
Here's like 10 words. Go ahead, write us a crazy story.
And here it is.
Grok or chatbot or whatever.
We should try that. See what the alternate story is.
Maybe one day if I'm out of stuff, right? Like, you know, if we can't find, like...
Content,
you know, maybe one day we'll sink that low, but hopefully that day will never come.
That could be good, you know, if you have a caller, call in, and then give us 10 keywords, and we'll come up with a story. We need a sponsor for that.
We would definitely need a producer to do that as well. It is understood that Kurt Fellows had been collecting used sex toys from like-minded women. I don't even know why they got to put that in there. Like, what do they mean, like-minded women?
They like to use dildos?
They all don't like Joe Biden?
Yeah. It seems like a way to, like, incriminate them in a way. Like, they're not...
Oh, they're accomplices.
Because they're not innocent. They also...
Many people in the New Hampshire, we'll call it Liberty community, people who want more freedom in their lifetime, will use the phrase like-minded to refer to other liberty-minded people. Yeah. So, like, mm-hmm. I hear that all the time. It means something to me that obviously it doesn't mean in this article.
That's not what I'm saying. It's a different kind of
different
like-minded.
Different kind of like-minded, yeah. The not-so-like-minded in the Montana area. And that these like-minded women, apparently, were, quote, more than pleased with the idea.
More than pleased, period.
Well...
Well, not anymore.
And then also pleased with the idea of the president receiving a giant shipment of their toys, their sex toys, for Valentine's Day. No official statement from the White House has been released at the time of this writing.
I could see that Jean-Pierre, the press secretary, saying something about that. Oh, no, that was we don't know anything about that.
They have a link to, it looks like, KVTA4.
Oh, it's
news.
Getting picked up by the wire, huh?
Yeah, I just want to see if it's word for word. It looks like it's word for word, the same article.
Headline on the Drudge Report,
yeah.
Which is terrible.
Wow, that is... This is one of these stories we have to keep up with, which means we likely never will.
Following up.
some comments from below. Sounds like illegal dumping of toxic waste. Everybody does that. Number one, where do you get 1,000 used dildos? Number two, how do you know that they have been used?
There could have been some new ones in there.
Maybe they weren't used until they got to the White House. And then the White House was like, hey, look, free dildo.
Yeah, cool. Let's use them. Valentine's Day. One,
but make sure you bring them back because they're not yours. They're for the president.
It's like a library, you know. You borrow it.
He's sleeping now, so.
It gives new new meaning to FJB, right? Somebody says you can get that number of dildos from eBay. This woman sells moose poop artwork, and her sales pitch will have you laughing. Mary Winchenbach, owner of Turdy Works, spelled with an I, T-I-R-D-I-W-O-R-K.
Dirty. Dirty. Like, you know, three dirty.
Treat dirty.
Treat dirty.
I'm telling you, it was dirty. Presented her sales pitch for her moose turds company at the Common Ground Fair in Unity, Maine. She really wanted people to buy her crap.
Well, it's not her crap.
Well, crap. It doesn't even say her crap. I inserted that. Yeah. Mary Winchenbach has a background in microbiology and chemistry, including over 40 years in food safety and health inspection. 15 years ago, Mary was walking in the woods and came across a pile of moose poo. I thought, how funny would that be if those turds had eyeballs, Mary told BuzzFeed. Mary began creating her Etsy artwork with a variety of punny names. Hopefully I can say them.
Hopefully you can say them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I can say them. Hopefully I can say them in the appropriate way that we don't get dinged by the FCC.
Right.
Dingleberries is one of them. S-O-S or S on a shingle, if you will. Mm-hmm. One of them's called Holy Crap. One of them's called S-Weed, S-Kickers, Croc of S, and S-End of the Stick. Are just some of the pieces that she sells. She sells not seashells, nor does she sell them by the seashore.
Nope.
Mary told BuzzFeed a few years after starting her business, her and her partner Deb adopted three children with special needs, and she decided to put her crappy business on hold. Why she did the crap. Like, she wanted to
make extra money.
Well, give her kids something to inherit later on. You know?
Yeah.
Here you go, kids.
Well, that's why she adopted them for the, you know, she needed some help.
Kid grows up, mom dies, right? And is bragging to, mom died, but she left me the business and everything. Oh, yeah, well, my mom died and left me like $100,000 or whatever, right? And the other kid's like, well, my mom left me was crap.
Moose poop.
Moose crap, specifically. After 10 years, Mary returned to the turds and began creating and selling artwork made from the moose droppings. She tells us that the custom artwork sells for between $5 and $45, depending on the piece. So,
is it the size of the item?
Oh,
well,
man.
She said $5 a turd is what she gets. Yeah. So I guess if it's a more elaborate piece, because some of them, she had a little, like she took a few different pieces and made mooses out. I think they were moose that she was creating out of.
Moose-shaped moose turds?
Yes.
Wow.
And they were hanging.
That's creative.
Like a mobile almost. They were like hanging.
We should buy one and put it up here.
Just
FTL
should.
Moose turd. She apparently sells clocks, picture frames, and ornaments, encouraging everyone to give an S for Christmas. her things are completely safe to have in your home. They go through a dehydration process because, as she says, juicy ones are never a good feature.
Oh.
Girl, the details we didn't need.
Once the crap is dried, it's then dipped in a secret coating to give it an appealing look. All right, so
look.
I have to pause. I have to pause this article right here. There's a saying in both the audio world of rock and roll, as well as the corporate world, of like when you're trying to give a presentation, you got a PowerPoint thing to do or whatever, that if you try to polish a turd, it's still just a turd. Now it's shiny.
Yeah.
Right? So
that's what she's doing.
Yeah.
That's what she's doing.
That's the whole appeal, you know? Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just a shiny turd now. So
I kind of want to buy one of these things for my sister because her life dream is to see a moose.
And it's the closest thing you're going to get.
Yeah, it just hasn't happened for her yet, you know? She.
How is that her dream?
That's her dream.
To see a moose.
Yeah.
Okay, look, man.
So anyone that sees a moose and tells her about it, she's like, I'm not happy for you.
Double flush it is. Our other.
Our two ply.
Our two ply. Our second number two story. It's two squared. Comes to us from the New York Post. What makes airplane toilets so extraordinary?
They're loud as anything.
So whenever I think of airplane toilets, I think about the story of how supposedly, and I don't know any of this for a fact, it's just a story that I heard, that airplanes, when you do flush the toilet, the stuff that goes down the toilet goes into a holding tank of sorts, and then it gets ejected out of the plane into the atmosphere and can freeze.
No way.
I don't think that's
and fall
happens.
To the ground.
There's a tank that they empty.
That's what I thought, but like there are supposedly there's
well, if they're over
no,
the
I think
ocean.
It's, maybe. It's a story the cruise out there. Ships that do that.
There's a story out there about
yeah, they could dump garbage
about somebody.
If there's
finding,
so many miles outside of
about somebody finding the ejected airplane stuff. If you would like to find that on the Magic Rectangle, feel free. I, you know.
Whatever you call it.
It's just whenever I hear about airplane toilets, that's the first thing I think about is this, like, cube of ass, right?
Falling.
Hurling, you know, at free fall rates
right
through the sky.
It's like the comet that goes through the ceiling or the guy's roof.
Right, and but it would be, like... Like, I mean, if it happens over, like, a a big city or something, 30,000
feet.
Like, that's one thing. But if it happens over the ocean, nobody's going to notice, right? It's the equivalent of if you have to pee and you're on a boat, you just sort of hang it over the edge of the boat.
Right.
And then you motor on your way,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that's, anyway, just from the New York Post, what makes airplane toilets so extraordinary? Flight experts explain why they suck in a good way. Now, this is going to prompt some idiot to, like, put his junk into the airplane toilet because he read that the toilets suck.
And that's going to fall on the sky.
I wouldn't know.
There's going to be an injury. It'll make another story for us on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So, right. You know, in one way, I look forward to that. But also, if you're listening to this, please don't do that. Please don't do that. Just because something has suction doesn't mean you need to, you know... Have your way with it. Airplane toilets suck. Literally, airplane toilets are anything but a simple touch and flush operation. Flight experts wowed travelers after revealing the extraordinary amount of engineering that goes into allowing people to safely do their business at 40,000 feet. In general, the airplane setting takes the most mundane tasks from heating water to, well, using the lavatory to new heights. Of difficulty due to safety concerns. I guess it would be a safety concern, right? You know?
Turbulence in the bathroom. Turbulence.
I had some bathroom turbulence earlier this morning.
Turbulence.
Everything is twice as hard on a plane as on the ground, says Al St. Germain, an aviation industry consultant who's worked for airlines including Delta and United. He told CNN, the criminal news network. Flushing airplane toilets with water is prohibited due to aircraft weight restrictions, not to mention that the water would slosh out of the bowl upon hitting turbulence.
Yeah.
May not be very pleasant.
So how do they flush?
Hmm.
Fortunately, scientists devised a plan B, air. That's right. Waste matter is sucked out of the plane using a differential pressure. Rather than the passive siphon system employed by most terrestrial toilets, in a system patented by James Kemper in 1975. When the laboratory users press the button, a valve opens up in the bowl, connecting to a pressurized pipe. This then sucks out the bowl's contents like a high-altitude Hoover vacuum. hence the contraption's moniker, vacuum toilet, after which the valve snaps shut. It's like your vacuum cleaner. It sucks.
It's a vacuum cleaner for poop.
Explained Nigel Jones, an aircraft engineer from Kingston University in London. The suction effect is caused by the natural difference in pressure between the cabin and the outside atmosphere that's generated by the plane climbing into the sky. Right. We've all seen this in the movies where, you know, the door blows open and somebody gets sucked out the door because they weren't fastened in appropriately or whatever.
Boeing comes to mind.
Boing. Yeah. We talked about them yesterday, too. In fact, the vacuuming occurs continuously throughout the whole flight, but we only hear it when the valve opens, right? So they can maintain a negative pressure. Right, yeah. Then, of course, there's the age-old question of where the contents go after getting flushed. Aha!
Ah!
Aha! We're getting to the flying cube of S, or at least something.
Frozen S.
Yeah. Contrary to popular belief, I wonder what the popular belief is.
Yeah, do people think about this frequently, or?
It's popular.
here we go. Contrary to popular belief, waste matter isn't just shot out of the airlock into the sky a la Goldfinger, but rather goes into pressurized waste tanks, which are generally located at both the rear and front.
That's what
aircraft.
I thought.
Yeah, I want to know what the popular
Did people really think it just got, like, shot out of the airplane, though?
If there was a problem common to people who eat at restaurants.
Yeah.
And it was so common that people talked about it online frequently, and it was sort of became an urgent urban legend in and of itself. Do you think calling on government to fix that is a good idea?
No.
Well, never. Never.
Okay. So, and we're us. So, like, we have... You know, beliefs that put us in the, that's never a good idea.
Yeah, you could have said anything and I would have said no.
I understand that. You guys are familiar with the urban legend of the McDonald's ice cream machine always being down?
Yes. Really? It's not a legend. That's true.
Really?
Yeah, they never have ice cream.
I haven't been to a McDonald's.
They're dirty liars.
This from Fox Business. Federal government wants McDonald's broken down ice cream machines fixed.
Or else.
Right. I mean, everything governments do has the unwritten or else.
Right. Oh,
at the end of it. Every law, every ordinance, every, you know, whatever it is that they're trying to force you to do something. It's all got or else in parentheses. Else.
So some Fed was like, I go to McDonald's. He goes to McDonald's every day.
Or his daughter is complaining or something.
Goes to McDonald's every day in his lunch break. And he's like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of you guys saying that the ice cream machine's always broken.
So it's one thing to like have this thing, right? This, I don't want to call it urban legend, this thing where like everybody is aware that the McDonald's ice cream machine
is just a thing,
most likely broken.
Yeah.
Like anytime you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a whole other thing for government.
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing,
to,
honestly.
To, like, involve itself in this in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, like the U.S. government.
Would it be the Federal Trade Commission? Like, what branch of government?
Well, and what's going to happen?
The executive branch is doing this.
That's a great question. And what's going to happen here is McDonald's is going to be like, okay, cool, we just don't serve ice cream anymore.
Right.
And then for the few McDonald's, because you can go to McDonald's and get an ice cream cone or a milkshake or whatever, McFlurry. You can, it's a joke, you know, and it is one of those things where you're taking a gamble, whether it's going to be working or not, if you ask for one, but, I mean, whatever, it's not really that big of a deal.
So the headline, federal government wants McDonald's broken down ice cream machines fixed. That's one thing. The sub-headline, soft serve ice cream machine breakdowns can cost $625 per day in sales, according to the FTC and the DOJ.
So it is the FTC.
Federal Trade Commission.
Yeah.
And the Department of Justice, DOJ.
But this sounds like McDonald's problem. You know what I mean?
Is.
Like their revenue or lack thereof has nothing to do with the federal government.
So they're losing $625 a day by the machines not working?
Also, not that much.
$625 a day. We better get the government involved right now.
That's like less than, well, actually, no.
what, like $2 a cone, $3 a cone?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
200 ice cream cones a day they like sell?
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I...
Well, that's an
maybe
average.
They're like adding the McFlurries to... Oh, is it for like every single McDonald's in the country?
No, it doesn't say it does cost. It says it can cost.
Yeah.
Up to $625.
So they just made up a number?
Well, that sounds like the maximum amount per day that it can cost.
Yeah.
Right? So it likely costs less than that based
on
the phrase.
Yeah.
Right?
This is so dumb.
It doesn't make sense. What is the cost? It costs... $625
like loss of revenue
to run that, or it's loss.
I think
they're saying
revenue.
Yeah, they're missing out in $625 a day.
Well,
in sales
I
per
mean,
restaurant.
If you think of the sales tax collected on that all across the country,
yeah,
the government
be another,
would be concerned.
That's got to be another $15-$20 easily,
right? So sales tax on those ice creams is probably that's probably why they're pissed.
In 2021, the FTC started looking into complaints by consumers and McDonald's franchise owners who claimed they were losing money on soft serve machines that were constantly breaking down and waiting to be fixed by authorized technicians. In 2022, McDonald's was sued by an ice cream repair company.
Wow.
It should say an ice cream machine repair company.
fix the ice cream.
My ice cream.
Not enough chocolate chips in there.
It's when it falls on the ground.
Would you like
know?
Me to call a glacier? An ice cream machine repair company sued McDonald's for $900 million.
Wow.
I don't know where they come up with that. Why not a billion, right?
Whoa.
We're rounding up.
Yeah, 900
million. A billion sounded like too much, so they had to, you know, they're like, eh, well.
Actually, 900 million sounds like it's more than a billion. It was almost like the third pounder versus the quarter pounder.
Yeah. I was just thinking of that.
900 million. Like, wow, that's a lot.
Was it,
you're like,
was
ah, 1 billion,
Burger King
whatever.
Or, no, it was A&W, I think.
Arby's.
No. Arby's doesn't make burgers. I thought it was A&W, the restaurant.
Yeah.
They because McDonald's was selling the quarter pounder.
Yeah, so they were trying to compete.
They were like, let's sell one that's bigger. We'll sell the 1/3 pounder.
But people were so dumb and didn't know their fractions that they didn't realize that it was bigger.
Why would I want a small burger from A&W? I get a bigger one from McDonald's because it's 1/4 instead of 1/3.
And it's cheaper over there, too, at McDonald's.
Everybody knows quarter pound is bigger than a third pound.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's not. It's not, people. Anyway, in 2022, McDonald's was sued by an ice cream machine repair company for $900 million after the company banned franchise owners from using a product of theirs, which allows for an easy fix of soft serve machines. So, again, you're absolutely spot on, both of you guys, Steve, Nikki. You're spot on about this is a McDonald's problem. This issue has been caused by government interference, government limiting what the market can do. There's already a market solution to this problem. This company that sued McDonald's for $900 million has a solution, but they were banned from using it because it allows an easy fix for the soft serve machines. The device would allow franchise owners to troubleshoot digital problems with the machine via Wi-Fi rather than waiting for an authorized fix by Taylor, the restaurant company that exclusively makes and repairs McDonald's ice cream machines.
I wonder if McDonald's corporate had a lobby to get those things. Like, we need to have these.
I believe it's just called McCorporate.
McCorporate, right. You know, if they paid their lobbyists, like, we have to make sure that the ice cream machines get in the digital copyright.
Also, I think they're called McLobbyists.
The McLobbyists. So McDonald's might have actually, you know, created their own problem.
I don't think McDonald's created this problem at all. I think the government created this problem.
But if they lobbied to say, like, we need to have our, you know, proprietary ice cream machines, I don't know. Or maybe it was Taylor.
Maybe.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it could be.
Maybe. Well, yeah, likely what happened is somebody signed an exclusivity contract.
Like,
yeah.
With Taylor.
Right, yeah.
Right.
And then that created a whole bunch of stuff.
Right. So they probably make, Taylor probably makes the ice cream machines for all these different companies, but they're all individual. So you can't get the Bougie King to fix the McDonald's one.
McDonald's claimed this device that would, you know, make it easier to repair violated the machine's warranty and said it could cause serious human injury, according to the New York Post.
I doubt it. Also, I'm pretty sure their food causes serious human injury and nobody cares about that.
Eating the ice cream is serious
injury.
Yeah.
Oh, ice cream's probably the healthiest thing on the menu.
Yeah. Can you actually call it ice cream? I don't even...
Actually,
I think it's made out of oil.
I read a study. An article that cited a study that said the most nutritious thing you can order at McDonald's is the McDouble.
The McDouble.
Yeah.
It's the double cheeseburger.
Why,
it's
why a double specifically? Cheeseburger.
Because it has the
is
least.
Is like the bread to meat
it's,
ratio
it's
or something?
The meat has the most nutrition value of any of the products really? Because it's basically protein, right? So it's good protein intake. The pickles, they're not bad for you. The dehydrated onions, not bad. The ketchup's full of sugar. The mustard probably is too. I don't know if they coat the meat in that whatever that not butter
Soylent
stuff
green.
Is that they like to all these restaurants like to put on stuff.
Olean.
But yeah, basically because it was the most simple of all of their products, right? All it had was bun, meat, cheese, right? A little ketchup, mustard, a pickle, that kind of a thing. So but it was the most nutritious thing you could buy,
which is probably still the bottom of the barrel for terms of nutrition.
Like if you're looking to get nutrition, stop going to McDonald's.
Have you ever seen? Have you ever seen those videos where people will have a 25-year-old McDonald's hamburger?
Yeah. Right, the Happy Meal from 1990 is.
Yeah,
still
and now it's a thing where people are like, "I don't believe it," and they do it themselves, and they're like, "Day 791 with my McDonald's cheeseburger."
Yeah, it just looks a little dried out.
Yeah, it's like a little dried out, but no mold.
Nope.
Bugs won't eat it. The dog won't eat it.
There's a comment in the bottom of this article. It says, very rarely are these machines broken. These are heavy-duty machines. The employees simply do not want to or are incapable of cleaning them properly, as it is a very tedious process to do it.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
This is Jerome, I believe, calling from South Carolina?
Yes.
You're on the air.
South of North Carolina, by the way.
But you're originally an East Carolina guy, right? You were born in there?
No.
West Carolina?
Born in Charleston.
Oh, okay.
Hey, look. Don't be a wise guy. You know I'm from Charleston. You try to get me. Are you directionally challenging something? Hey, you from West Carolina? You from North Carolina? You're just trying to be a Weisenheimer Northerner. That's all you're trying to be.
But there's a West Virginia, but there's no East Virginia.
Right. There's no North Virginia either.
Right.
Blue Ridge Mountains, California River.
Yeah. We got Jerome singing now.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Did you?
I used to be stationed in Colorado. Every time I hear John Denver, I always remember he had that country road, take me home.
The Rocky Mountain way too high because he crashed into it?
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, too low. Now, let's be nice now.
I am nice.
That wasn't nice what you said about John Denver.
I just said that the mountain was too high because he crashed into it.
Hey, I remember... Hey, how he died was it was an awful ending to his life, He wasn't a bad guy. Hey, by the way, I need a therapy session. How much are you going to charge me?
$7,000 per therapy. Minute.
Oh, yeah, right.
One right, McDonald's ice cream. If you can find...
Put it on my debit.
Are you willing
put
to...
Put it on my debit card.
Are you willing to receive therapy from somebody unlicensed and uninsured?
Hey, do I get a massage with it? Because therapy could be any type of therapy you want. This is like mental therapy, though.
Well, so we all know that
it kind of bothered me.
We all know that the word therapist, if you divide it into its roots, becomes the rapist.
Well, we don't go that. We don't do that. No, okay. That's uncool, man.
All right.
No.
I mean, if you need therapy, if you really need therapy, go seek professional help. If you consider spouting off on nationally syndicated talk radio, then we'll be your therapy for you, Jerome.
Yeah, because I need a session today. Because stuff I heard today, man, I think I need to talk to somebody.
Well, I couldn't think of anybody else. You could start here and just see how it goes, and then if you think that you have to take it to another level, then you'd see a professional.
Yeah. Hello, Nikki. Anyway.
Hello.
Was she not talking to me today?
Well, you
I'm
said
here.
Was
I'm
hello.
Listening. Yeah. No, I'd love to know what you want to, what the therapy session is about.
Well, Trump said that if he doesn't win, there's going to be a bloodbath. And I'm wondering, he was in Ohio yesterday, and I'm wondering, who does he think he is? If he doesn't win, there's going to be a bloodbath? Who does he think he is?
Jerome, have you watched the entire clip of what he said?
I don't care about the entire clip.
Oh,
I care about
context.
What he said.
Okay, well, then it's out of context and it doesn't make sense to you because you haven't seen the entire thing.
Oh, so you're buying the excuse that his handler said, well, he meant for the auto industry. I ain't buying that.
All right, well, if you saw the entire clip, he's talking about China moving automobile factories into Mexico into the United States.
Right.
So the industry, it's going to be... you know, he calls it a bloodbath. It's the same thing like NAFTA when Perot said it's a giant sucking sound. Absolutely true.
I mean, I was in a heavy metal band and like
January 6th.
Hang on, Drew. I was in a heavy metal band and like we had songs with way worse title names than like, you know, bloodbath. I remember there was a band that I enjoyed. They were called Tasty Gore, and they had a song called Two Nuns in a Chainsaw Fight.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes.
That's black and white red all over.
It is. Right? Now, talk about a bloodbath.
Yeah, don't get me started on Cannibal Corpse. Yeah. Jeez. I mean.
Oh, my God. I don't listen to stuff like that.
So the fact that, that you, Jerome, are getting, I don't know, that you need therapy as a result of hearing the former president and potentially next president say the word bloodbath is indicative of somebody who really does need therapy.
Yeah, I think you might have Trump derangement syndrome. I think I'm going to have to diagnose you with that.
No, he's got derangement syndrome. He's the deranged one.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah, all right. We're all in agreement.
Either of those senile old bastards are deranged, both of them, Biden and Trump both. And it is a further commentary on the general public and their derangement that those are the two candidates that you all are going to have to choose from if you decide to vote. I believe this is Tim in Florida. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live.
So what I remember is a 29-cent cheeseburger.
Oh, yeah.
No, I got it backwards. It's a 29-cent hamburger on Monday.
Yeah.
And a 49-cent cheeseburger on Wednesday. And those burgers, I did work at McDonald's for a very brief period of time. They are one-tenth of a pound before they are cooked.
Wow.
In the frozen form.
Wow.
And that was a pretty good deal. And then the McDouble... the McDouble replaced, it didn't replace because you can still buy a double cheeseburger, but originally there was no McDouble. The double cheeseburger had two of the one-tenth pound patties, it still does,
yep,
and two slices of cheese. The McDouble is the same thing.
But one,
but
slice,
one
of cheese.
Slice of cheese.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, you got it, Captain.
Yep, yep. Yeah, what about the ice cream machine, though? Did it break down when you were there all the time?
No, so I worked at the McDonald's in Thayer, Missouri, which is pretty close to the border of Arkansas. I was taking a break from my computer career.
Yep.
And anyway, because there was no work like that up there, so, you know, you took what you could get. But, man,
mm-hmm.
Are you still there?
Yeah.
You know what happened? I renamed my Alexa computer so I could sound like a Captain Picard. and so I said, apparently I said computer, and it started trying to talk back to me.
Computer.
That was one of the creation of the McDouble was the earliest example I can think of shrinkflation, where they basically took something away and they charged the same price.
Ah.
And the first time I noticed it was when I tried to order a double cheeseburger. I'm like, what the hell? It's supposed to be a dollar. And they're like, no, the McDouble's a dollar.
Yeah. Have you seen the... I saw this recently somewhere on the social media or online somewhere, and it's a photo of like the McDonald's burgers in their advertisements, and then a photo of the actual burger that you get when you order it from the drive-thru.
Yeah. Catfish.
We've got David Ridley of the Ridley Report with us. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. Before I start with my planned topic, I did want to issue an apology to Rich Paul. I called him a name the last time I called in. I called him a chihuahua.
Oh. What did you mean to call him?
Well, I kind of meant to say chihuahua.
Oh, okay.
But I probably shouldn't have. That's a term I use for people who spew a lot of yipping and yapping about how they think it's so important to hurt government people physically. And he was kind of doing that, so I kind of called him a name.
Was it Rich Paul or was it Richie Rich?
No, Rich Paul.
Okay, all right, just checking.
I have a policy of not calling people a name, even if I profoundly disagree with them. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah, I respect that.
Yeah, that's awesome of you, manly of you, big of you, whatever you want to say. And we will vicariously accept on Rich Paul's behalf.
Yes, I have posted this. I've sent him an email and posted this on Shire forums. And
nice.
I'll either be forgiven or not forgiven.
That's cool. I'm sure I don't want to speak on his behalf, but it doesn't seem like he'd, you know, hold a grudge on that one.
All right. So what is your planned topic for this evening?
Yeah. So what does the term SEZ mean to you guys?
SEZ, Special Economic Zone, I believe.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Ding, 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 ding. Wow. So,
do I win Rice Aroni too?
Sure.
Okay.
Special Economic, of course, they're a favorite topic of your co-host, Mark Edge.
Yes.
And Mark has convinced me that these are something that does kind of work somewhere, sometimes. Kind of like the Free State Project does, but in a different way. So I think they're great, but to me, the main problem with them when I look at them is like, well, that's not in New Hampshire, so I can't take all this stuff we've got going here and apply it to that. I have to start over if I go to a place like that. So,
yep.
So an NH Exit activist has come up with a suggested solution to that problem. His name's Tony Olson, and he has written an article over on the Shire forums. I think he's in the process of submitting it to some other places, but he is suggesting starting a special economic zone somewhere inside New Hampshire.
That'd be great.
Well, could we make all of New Hampshire a special economic zone?
Right.
Does it have to be one little space?
Well, so there are a bunch of hoops you have to jump through with the existing government in order to get granted a special economic zone. And so it's just less expensive to start small.
Okay.
All right. I'll buy that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So there's been some objections to this that, well, the state would just shoot it down or the federal government would shoot it down, you know, legally or whatever. But the thing is that failure is not always failure. Just the fact that you try something actually pushes it quite a bit further along than it would have gotten if you hadn't tried it. Even if it gets shot down, well, at least you got this far or that far, right? Or at least you proved that they're not letting you do it, right? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as a person with some entrepreneurial spirit, that particular message resonates with me highly. I'm sure there's other entrepreneurs out here who are like, yeah, dude, you know how many times I had to fail before I got my first business to succeed?
Yeah.
Right, that kind of thing. Also, too, as a musician, right, I have never been in the black. As a musician, I've put way more money into making music and trying and like putting it out there than I have received back in either spins or sales or T-shirts or any of that kind of stuff. So, yes, absolutely. That resonates with me 100%.
So Tony's suggestion in the article is to set up to designate a 6-square-mile uninhabited area somewhere and just like let people go there. And his suggestion is to use it to help solve the homeless problem. Let homeless people go there. I don't know if that would be the best combination because usually I think these things are done, you know, in other countries, like the one in Honduras, the special economic zone. I think it's, you know, it's a lot of expats and locals, but they're not trying to attract homeless folks, right?
Right.
this is different, and it would be much more of a challenge. But on the other hand, we have a lot less to lose, you know, because those homeless folks have a lot less to lose. So, you know, at least this is an idea. It's nice to see someone push this that's not me, right? Like, it's something I can get behind, and I don't have to start the idea. And I think everybody else who looks at this is probably going to feel the same way. Oh, yeah, it's not something I'd want to start, but it's great that he has started it.
Well, and also you have somebody that you can kind of, you know, lean on from time to time, you know, send an email or a text or whatever, you know, Mark Edge I'm speaking of, who has, you know, done more research on this than, well, I have, right? And, you know, he's part of trying to build something like that outside of the U.S. It'd be interesting to get his perspective, and maybe I'll ask him the next time he's
on
with us.
Is that the private cities, or what's it called?
Yeah, it's the Special Economic Zone.
No, but it's called something cities.
Free Private Cities.
Free Private Cities, right.
Right, that's the project he's involved with.
Right,
Free Private Cities. He's involved with a couple different projects, so mm-hmm. I might be mixing two projects together here, but he certainly has schooled me on special economic zones previously, just, you know, me talking to him in person and whatnot. So, Ridley?
All right. Well, you can read the article at forum.charitysociety.com.
Speaking of vehicles, there's somebody who calls us from time to time.
I need one.
Who enjoys talking about roads. It's Sarah in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live.
Sarah. Oh, yeah, the roads. Today I want to bring up something else. Is that
okay?
You know, like Raymond is kind of almost deaf, but he has real hard hearing problems. So
I'm sorry, who?
The person I live with, Raymond.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Didn't hear you.
Yeah. But people that have hard of hearing, don't they talk kind of loud?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, and they also, they talk loud and they talk monotone, so they'll sound something like this. Hello, thank you for calling. How can I help you today?
Like they're shouting.
Yeah, generally speaking.
Yeah, I don't know, because I guess they can't hear themselves, but the problem that we have was that we called to make a business card, and obviously the operator had one of those headsets that has the headphones right up against their ears, mm-hmm. and then they have the mouthpiece.
Mm-hmm.
So then what happens that he was talking pretty loud like he normally does.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they can't hear themselves. They just think that other people can't hear them. So they talk loud. So then it was blasting into their eardrum. So what is that? They have the one volume. Once they lower the volume for them, it also lowers our volume. So we can't hear them, and they can't hear us. I mean, it's just one setting. So my complaint is they need to have a voice setting where they could lower our volume on their part, and they could increase our volume if we needed to. It's just that our telephone system, but if they decide to lower their volume, we can't hear them either.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you, but I don't know what we can do to help you.
I would call the FTC.
The DOJ.
Or the DOJ. Copyright Office.
So this technology exists, Sarah, and I can't explain why you are having this specific problem, because you're talking to me right now, and I have raised and lowered my volume in my headset repeatedly since you've called, and it doesn't seem to have affected you at all. So So, like, the technology exists. I can't explain what happened to you with this particular call. I don't know what happened and why their changing of volume would also reduce yours. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I didn't have this ancient, old-style headphones, because the more I talked to them, they were getting fainter and fainter and fainter. And then she was telling me that she was lowering her volume because we were talking too loud and was blowing out her eardrum.
Were you calling into, like, a call center, like where there's a bunch of these people doing their job?
I think I was trying to order. They have this center. I could order. You know, our network marketing. They have their business card and the. And I also found out I could get postcards, and they even have checks, stamps, return address, like a stamp. So you could,
all right, so when you made this call, you were talking to a representative, right? Like you called into a place, a toll-free number or something like that. Now, I know from having worked in call centers that sometimes they will have a supervisor or a quality person listen into the call in order to, like, grade the person on how well they did or coach them. Here's what you did right. Here's what you did
training
wrong.
Training purposes.
Training purposes, right. Sometimes that can create weird audio for people when the person, you know, pipes in to listen to. You can't hear them speak, but, like, that's the only thing that I can think of that might create the scenario you've described.
Yeah, so someone was eavesdropping on your call from the company.
Right.
Yeah, that's a real possibility, because you're telling me that they already have a technology that you are lowering and increasing my volume to for your listening hearings, and then my excuse me, my volume was consistent, and I just thought that it sounds about right with all of our technological advances. Mm-hmm. It sounds about right, because I learned that they'll keep track of we have that new free bus service. They'll keep track of all of your phone numbers that you call from and you do the app from. They know who you are before they pick you up.
If you have the app on your phone, that app is picking up all of the data on your phone. That is true.
And then the guy told me that they even keep track of the track phones. That's a murder device. They found that before they murder somebody or they commit a big crime.
Not every time, but
I've never heard of anybody being murdered by track phone.
Well,
no, I'm talking about that's an accessory. They would buy a throwaway phone, hoping that they're not going to be tracked.
Or a burner phone.
Yeah, the burner phone.
Yeah,
and
drug dealers will do that too. Yeah.
Well, that's been going
on. Or just people looking for a phone. They need a cheap phone, random phone, whatever.
Yeah. Two segments ago, I mentioned that I was a fan of the self-checkout. I have a variety of reasons for this. Sometimes I don't feel like dealing with people. Sometimes I find that the cashiers are, I don't know how to say this, but not as quick as I like them to mm-hmm. be. Or as other cashiers are. Sometimes you see an experienced cashier, and they're just on it. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, wait, hang on. Okay, here you go. Right, they're on it, right?
There is a little bit of an art to it, you know? Too quick and they're a little too smashy, because sometimes they'll just whip your groceries into the cart. It's hey, settle down. Settle down.
Yeah. But, I'm a far superior bagger. I'm quicker at getting my stuff on the scanner, off the scanner, even if it's something like Steve described where it's I got to look it up. Oh, I didn't look at the number for the little stickers gone off my avocado.
Right.
I got to put it on the thing. I got to look up the thing by alphabet. You got to know how to spell avocado.
Yeah, that's the tough part.
That's a tough one.
Angie always loves that because she buys organic bananas. Please place your organic bananas.
It's got to
Wow. Please place your organic bananas. It's the robot voice. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I love it.
So this from News Channel 7, WJHG.
News 7.
Panama City Beach, Florida, of all places. Walmart and Target may be testing limits on self-checkouts.
Wait. They may be testing? They already are testing.
Well,
what is the
article
limits?
Says they may be.
Why is the limit?
Why would you limit self-checkout? What does it mean to limit self-checkout? These are good questions.
Own nothing and you'll be happy.
There may soon be limits on who can use self-checkouts.
Oh, discrimination.
At stores like Walmart and Target. That's French for Target. Some shoppers have reported that some self-checkout lines have been closed off at Walmart, according to Today. This is the second time this week that I've gone to Walmart, and this is a different Walmart, and it's been right about this time, and all their self-checkouts are closed, and they've started to open up the regular lines again, one person said in a TikTok video. According to a Reddit post, at least one Walmart had a sign blocking self-checkout lanes saying, "Attention, this self-checkout is for Spark shoppers and Walmart Scan and Go only." I don't know what either of these things are, but
I'm confused.
Walmart Scan and Go is only available for Walmart Plus members, which is a paid subscription.
Yeah. Listen, premium. I don't have any qualms with this. No, I don't mind if they want to charge a premium for self-checkout privileges.
Is that the fast lane? You pay a toll?
So it could be. Yeah, it could be. Or like how TSA has the TSA check.
Pre-check?
The pre-check-in. I mean, if that's what they want to do.
The TSA is not a market entity. Walmart
so we can't really compare,
right,
but that's the first thing that my mind comes to. If the TSA can do it, Walmart can do it.
No. I'm not going to pay more to self-checkout. I'm sorry. I'm already saving them money by them having to staff.
It should be cheaper.
It should be less expensive. Right,
also, I want to say that I heard that some of these companies, there's a lot of theft. And they are losing a lot of money, more so than they would paying the cashier's wage.
That's up to their loss prevention people to figure out.
possibly if you need a special scan, you know, you need to be in the in club, maybe you're less likely to steal, or maybe it's an incentive. Who knows? Either way,
I don't like paying more for anything.
So you don't get to self-checkout then.
I mean, maybe they can have you just start unloading the trucks in the back too.
I guess I'll just I guess I'll just revert to more. I've seen like these delivery services, not necessarily Uber Eats, but they've expanded too. Instacart, for example, is doing way more than groceries now.
Oh yeah.
Like
CVS,
you can get like a Home Depot through Instacart or something. Yeah. I don't Walgreens.
They even have
ones
where they'll deliver you alcohol.
Well, not in New Hampshire.
No, not in New Hampshire?
Yeah. And not in Washington State either, because I looked into that. Like, that was
in
a business.
In Massachusetts,
they do. That's a business I would have jumped into. Yeah. I would have sacrificed. Well, I would have worked two jobs. I would have sold all of my musical equipment just to get in on booze delivery.
Yeah.
Get a permit.
Because, first of all, booze is a recession-proof industry. And anytime you can get into a private market with booze, it's a win-win situation. Why? Hmm. Because when people are happy, they drink. And when people are sad,
they drink.
They drink.
Yep.
Doesn't matter how people are feeling, they're drinking.
Yep.
So
it's like sports.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Drinking.
Hey. Oh, we finally got a mention in.
No, I
thought we were going to go the whole
first segment.
Yeah. Oh, I did mention about
Yaza.
The green shirt. Yeah. All right. Well, that's okay. Like, what are you? And, I don't like.
What, do you hate corned beef?
No, yeah. I just hate.
Have you had it 3 days in a row?
As much as I like drinking, I hate the manufactured drinking holidays.
Right. Yeah. St. Patrick's Day. It's just annoying, yeah.
Drinko de Mayo.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Right.
Yeah.
What's it? Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
Like, these are manufactured drinking holidays where the only reason it's a holiday is, like, anymore is for people to drink. It's not the reason it became a holiday.
Yeah.
Right, but that's all
but
people
that's,
think of it as.
That's
they're like,
America.
St. Patrick's Day, let's go get drunk.
Yeah,
that's America.
And then all these
drinking
people.
Drinking and consumerism.
All,
you know
all these
what I mean?
People that, you know, that have no tolerance. They don't drink all the rest of the year. They have two drinks, and now they're wasted, and they can't drive, and they get in everybody's way. It's just, it's bad. It makes all the rest of the humans look bad.
Bad business.
Yeah, because they can't, you know, handle themselves.
But hey, that's, you know, that's the culture. We have drinking holidays. And then there's consumer
sports holidays, we're
consumerism
in one
holidays, you know, so either you need to rack the credit card up, buying all your family all these gifts that they don't need, or get really drunk.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.